Like, our timeline's a complete mess. We don't have any idea when we are, never mind where we are. It's all just a complete jumble, and it seems like the only realistic reason for such a convoluted effort to convince us we're in tribulation and to hide histories is probably to hide Jesus. The prophecy goes in Revelation, once the 1,000 years has expired, the devil's let loose for a short season to gather an army. Okay, so he deceives the whole earth, all the nations get deceived, he gathers an army whose numbers are the sands of the sea, and he convinces them to go and make war with the camp of saints and surround it. Okay, so the only way that could happen is the whole earth is convinced, somehow, justifiably, we all need to come together and fight a common enemy of some kind. And we were told, you know, the famous Reagan speech, you know, maybe we need an outside threat to bring us all together as one, you know. How quickly our differences would drop if we were under attack by an alien threat from outer space. You realise the alien agenda's been at play for years in the conspiracy world. What's the end goal of all this constant alien invasion propaganda that we've been inundated with since War of the Worlds, you know, and since that radio broadcast which convinced people to attack the grain towers because they thought the tripods had come, you know? Like, it's kind of, they've been pushing it hard, haven't they, on us for a long time to believe space, aliens are coming, and when they come, we'll all need to band together to fight, you know? That's basically every alien invasion story you've ever imagined. Everyone drops their differences and comes together to fight a common enemy. The mothership comes down. It doesn't bring peace. Oh no, let's all come together and attack it. And it's possible that is actually what's going to happen in some way. New Jerusalem, the floating city from heaven, where Christ reigns on his throne, may become visible again in our near future. Maybe it hits the coast of Siberia finally, because it's been moving. The magnetic North Pole has been moving, you know. Maybe this floating giant magnetic thing all of our compasses point to will become visible once it hits the coast of Siberia, and they can't hide it anymore, because eyes literally look up and see this thing now. Look at, what is this? That's what everyone believes, right? The whole Earth is indoctrinated with heliocentric, alien, Star Trek, Star Wars propaganda since birth. The only explanation could be aliens have turned up. There's no other explanation to describe such a phenomenon as looking up and seeing an enormous giant cube of some kind coming down, you know, or a pyramid perhaps. Who knows what it looks like? If that's the case then, if they're playing that agenda and it really is Christ appearing once more, he never left. He's been here since the millennial reign ended. That's the end game. You think about that story. This god-like entity from space wants to bring balance to the universe. He comes in his, I think it's called Sanctuary, this giant spaceship that turns up, you know, and his aim is to kill half the population in order to bring peace, you know, everlasting peace. All of humanity and superheroes coming together to fight against like a Christ-like, Antichrist-like figure. And it's kind of like, that's the end game, this final war. A huge war, you know, it's everybody against this one entity who wants to destroy everything. Well, technically, Christ comes to destroy the earth. He comes to bring a new heaven and a new earth, which is a wiping clean of all that's old and a bringing in of the new. You want to wipe clean all that's here currently? Well, you want to take all the power away from these men who rule everything, don't you? That's a bad thing. That's got to be a bad thing, right? We don't want them to come and destroy the earth. We want to, you know, we want to keep it going the way we want it to go. So they've turned good for bad and bad for good. Who's, you know, and they'll always leave out the new heaven and earth aspect. You know, but it's kind of this idea that, yeah, Jesus comes to destroy the earth to make it better. But they'll just say, aliens have come to destroy the earth. Everyone quick, get together. You don't want them to end everything we've worked for, do you? You know, you want to stop the progression of humanity. And it's just, I know I'm weaving a narrative here, but you realize this whole Christ millennial reign thing, the Gog Magog war, the surrounding of the, it can all explain why we even have an alien agenda. What would be the point? This explains why we're deceived when he finally inevitably appears again, and they can't hide the fact he's still here anymore. Like, it's, they need a story, they need something to cover it up. Why cover up biblical cosmology and invent the heliocentric model, which is a lie. So space exists, so aliens can exist as a concept, so we can fit it into this. When Christ turns up, people think it's aliens. It's kind of, it all kind of starts answering all this backlog of odd questions, you know, and that question we all get as conspiracy theorists, oh, why would they lie? This is why. This would explain why. This is the big why. Why any of it? You know, why everything? Why lie about everything? Because they need a false narrative to cover this big deal up. Christ was here for 1,000 years. He's already ruled and built a perfect world of peace. We're squatting in its remains.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. Well, wasn't that dramatic? That was cool, wasn't it? That was a little short created by Flat Bear. You can find him on YouTube and on Instagram. And that was actually part three of a series he's created, clipping my words from random interviews from across the year, kind of telling the story of the millennial reign theory. And that one was covering the alien invasion agenda and where this could fit into the whole thing, and the floating cities and the beloved city and the campus saints. And again, just some speculation, some ideas there on my behalf, where I think all this kind of thing could fit in. But I could be wrong on some of those things. I'm open to that. But there you go. That's a video he just created recently. He's just released that on his channel, so go check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, I thought that was lovely. And then he's just sent me a version with a slight change of background music. Because when I tried to upload it earlier and release it, it gave me a copyright mark on my channel in the red. Apparently the music wasn't royalty free for me, but it was for him. So it's really odd, but he's changed the music and I've re-uploaded it and I tested it and it was still in the green last I checked. So there's no issues there with any copyright marks on the channel. And I would have it on my channel with if it didn't do anything at all. It's not about the monetization of it. The issue is if I have any red marks on my channel, when they rack up, they start taking things away from you, like features, and I could lose access to anything like live shows and things like this if you rack up too many of them. So I tend to try and just avoid that altogether. The problem is once they make something in the red, you can't demonetize and put it in the gray. You're permanently in the red, so you have to delete the video to get rid of that kind of in the ether. It's just YouTube annoyances and the way they do things. But thankfully, like I said, he changed the music and it's worked, and I can share that with you now without any probably major repercussions coming up. If in the future you're listening to me talk right now and have no idea what I'm going on about, I probably removed the video because it gave me a strike. So there we go. But I hope you enjoyed that, guys. Go check out Flatbird's work. He was on my channel not that long ago as a bit of a truth or therapy session and a behind the scenes talk about how he got me in touch with Eddie Bravo to make that interview happen. So that's the guy who made that happen as well. So shout out to Flat Bear on Instagram. The E in Bear is a number 3. So there you go. If you're looking for him and wondering what's going on. But yeah, guys, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. What are we on now? Episode 81 of the Truth or Therapy Sessions. My, how the time is just flying. It feels like it's speeding up a little bit. It's getting weird. Very weird. I feel like I'm blinking and my entire life is passing away. Maybe that has something to do with being in my 30s and that just generally tends to be the trend for people in their 30s. Maybe I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm feeling older by the day, and the years up really are just flying. I can't believe it's been 81 episodes of this thing so soon. I think when I came back to YouTube I was doing like episode 20 or something, or 18. So I've really really smashed these out in quite a profound way. So yeah, incredible. But here we are, guys, a bit of a truth or therapy session. And I do kind of have something I want to talk about today, a topic, an idea. And it actually comes off the back of some demographic information I got thrown my way. And for those who don't know, we are trying to figure out and work out the feasibility and the possibility of perhaps having a intimate Little Season Theory conference in America. And this is because a promoter has kind of reached out to me and many members of our community with a big long list, pitching us the idea and she's really lovely. She's knows what she's talking about. She's a full-on believer. She's a sister in Christ and a full believer in the Little Caesars theory. She's being very careful, and she's really thinking this through, and she's taking us through every step of the thought processes as this goes on. And obviously, I've agreed to go, and I think Jason Jack might be on board. I know JT's on board as well. And we're trying our best to get other people involved, and things are happening behind the scenes, which are just miracles, we'll call them. You know, just things are happening. It seems like the Holy Spirit's really moving through this, and prayers are being answered. Things are happening for us, which is great. And what we've done originally is we sent out a survey, which I've been putting in the link of this video. You can go check the description. We've been posting it here and there. And really, she wanted about 250 responses to get a good overview look of, do people want this? What would they want from it? Who's coming? You know, how many people are they bringing? Just to generate a good idea of how this would work logistically and what the audience wants from this. And the results were fascinating. So she's been sending us the results as the surveys have been coming in. I think she's got over 200 now, but the more the better, the more data, the better, because it helps us understand what to put on at something like this. You know, and it's very enlightening, actually, because there's a big long list of things people want to see at a Little Season conference. And there's like maybe 11 solid 80 to 90% answers. But there's a big long list of where no one said anything about them because they just don't want them there. So it's actually really good because it's actually showing us, okay, they do not want us to talk about any of these topics. They're not interested. And we wouldn't have known that without the survey. So that's why it's really useful. And but one thing that came across my lap as I was kind of reading this is the demographics involved. First of all, gender. I was surprised that it's actually more female to male. It's like a 60 to 40% female to male ratio of who's decided to want to come to this. Maybe that says more about women are just the ones who are actually going to bother to fill out the survey and men aren't bothering or something like that. I don't know. But my demographics on YouTube are actually 75% male, 25% female, more, and that's what I have, you know, from an 80,000 sample. So from a 250, maybe it's a bit skewed there, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. That's odd. But another interesting thing, which is going to be the topic of this video, is the denominations who are a part of this community who want to come. And it's split up, first of all, it's a pie chart, okay? So if you can visualize this, half of the pie chart is non-denominational and no church. So Christian without a church and non-denominational. So that's over half of you here are not associated with a church of any kind or a denomination of any kind. You've detached from all of it. You're not a member of a church. You are a Christian. You believe in Christ. And a lot of people left comments just plainly saying, for, you know, more information, I'm just a follower of the way. I'm just a Christ follower. I'm just a Bible believer. I'm not a member of a denomination. A lot of you made that very clear. So that's like over 50%. 55% of you are that alone. Then the rest of the pie chart, the other half of it, is just a multicolored array of very small slivers. And there's like hundreds of you with just varying denominations involved as well as the 50%. No, they're just non-denominational. And it was incredible. You know, you got Orthodox, Catholics, Pentecostals, Evangelicals. You got all sorts. You know what I mean? Just the whole range is there. Your Hebrew Israelites, your Sacred Namers, your Seventh-day Adventists, all that kind of stuff. They're all there. Like, and I can't go through every, like, 40,000 denominations of Protestantism here today. But it's really surprising. Like, it was a broad range of people who were all in agreement about something for once in Christianity. And it was about the eschatology of the end times and this Little Season thing. And that got me thinking, it's like, when was the last time all the denominations agreed on anything? Like, realistically, when did that ever, when's that ever happened? They're always arguing that, well, ours is the one true church. We have our apostolic successions. So they're always saying, yeah, that's blasphemy and nonsense. It's all idol worship. You're only going to have, you know, just read the Bible only, sola scriptura, or whatever we want to say, you know. Arguments have always abounded in the Christian world in the modern day because there are so many factions and everyone's claiming they have the right way to do the way of Christ, you know. And it's sad that that's the state of Christendom. But we all agreed fundamentally that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and the Son of God, Lord of Lords, and God simultaneously in some weird psychedelic way, and we follow him as the only way to the Father, and you know, the only way to the kingdom and to the Father is through him. We all kind of agree on that, with some minor caveats here and there, I suppose, from some people who want to make things more complicated than necessary, but that's pretty much the baseline we've always agreed on, that Christ is what this should all be about. But from there, I mean, it's difficult. Christians are always arguing with each other about stuff all the time. But this thing, this little season topic, it seems like it's kind of like a barrier breaker for denominations. It's kind of like, yeah, we disagree on a lot of things, but we all agree we're in the little season at least, you know, and that's incredible. This could be this little season eschatology idea. And I know it's hard for some people who are in the futurist kind of angle to get to grips with what we're saying. It takes a lot of battling with and wrestling with the idea before it gets accepted, usually when you're trying to break down your old programming and just read the word for what it says, you know, and it could take some time, and I empathize with that, and I'm not rushing people to get to this idea, because it took me a few years to fully process what this means, you know, and coming out of the futurist ideology as well. But when people get here, it's kind of, they can come from any background. Fundamentally, the eschatological view of the little season kind of breaks all the barriers of the denominations down. You can be Orthodox or Protestant or Catholic or whatever, and you can still have this view that we are in the little season, you know, and the millennial reign has already happened, and it only strengthens people's faiths from there. And it's kind of, you know, there was a quote, wasn't there, in that little thing I showed at the start, and it's like Ronald Reagan. I'm paraphrasing him, you know, it's like, how quickly our differences would fall to the wayside, you know, if we were under threat from some outside alien force. Something, he said something like that, you know, very roughly paraphrase there. And I thought it was funny because it's kind of, well, yeah, that's true, you know, and there's lots to be said about the alien agenda to create a new world order and the rest of it, you know. But now I was also thinking, like, what would Christendom need to drop all their petty differences and come together and realize these differences are stupid compared to the actual realistic situation we find ourselves in? And could it be this revelation that we're in the little season of Satan and we've been heavily lied to about a lot of things, and Christ has already reigned for 1,000 years? Imagine if everybody suddenly realized that. Well, that would be a grand unifier for Christendom, wouldn't it? That would suddenly make all the denominations seem very silly all of a sudden. A lot of denominations would fall to the wayside quickly as complete nonsense, in fact. It would be insane. It would be absolutely insane if just suddenly all of Christendom realized this, and the rest of the world too. It would bring them into Christendom from a brand new, fresh perspective, without the dogma or weight of previous denominations holding those back to understand what the word truly meant, and what it meant for there to be a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, you know, and that we would have tangible evidence to say it was here. The kingdom was here on earth in a physical sense, simultaneously in heaven, and the two met briefly, you know, for 1,000 years. And there was a time of relative peace on earth, a taster of the new heaven and earth of things to come, when things are finally united and made whole again in the end, and everything's regenerated and the old earth is renewed as it was in the beginning before the fall. I mean, that would bring all of Christendom together if everyone finally got to grips with this idea. And maybe we are at the start of this realization, of this breaking down of barriers, of this realization that it's not about I do it better than you, or I'm doing it the right way here, or you're a heretic over there and you're blaspheming over here, or whatever it is. It's kind of all that would just go to the side. It's kind of like, he was here, and we need to understand the kingdom, you know, that, and the kingdom is, he's already won as well. So it aligns a lot of things together in a great way, you know, and I'm excited just reading these demographics and seeing how it's all panning out, and how if we did have a conference, I could know that if, say, 2,000 people are stood there in front of the stage, it's kind of like you all come from completely different backgrounds of denominational understandings of scripture. You all have your own take and personal views on many things, but you've all come together here on this one foundational truth that Christ kept his word. and you're all there to understand what that means. And that's just, that's incredible. You know, I think you find it very difficult to get a Catholic and a Protestant in the same room worshipping Jesus at any time. You'd be hard pressed for that. And especially in the past, you know, and this, but this can do this for us. This can actually do it for people. And that's incredible. That can only be a good thing. So I feel like the Holy Spirit is really moving in this time. Letting his people know the truth as he promised he would, you know. And it's not an easy process for a lot of people. I get it. I really empathize. And we get a lot of people attacking us all the time, especially from the evangelical futurist dispensationalist crew. And it's kind of, I'm not angry at them. I'm really not. Like, and when they do it, I'm like, well, that's a shame. That's sad that they've lashed out publicly like that in a way. And it's kind of, okay, I'm no. Fair enough. You know, I get why they're angry, because they don't understand. They really don't understand. I'm not trying to be condescending. It's like, no, they are exactly what I was doing like 5-4 years ago. They're doing the exact same thing. They're on a journey. They're on a process, because the dispensationalist view is powerfully convincing when they're also putting on a show in the world, an illusionary show in the world that's backing up those assumptions and preconceived ideas and programming. You know, they are putting on a convincing little song and dance for us, aren't they, that tribulation's coming upon us. But it's easy to do that when you want all the resources and all the media and all the money and all the institutions and all the governments of the world. You can put on a pretty good show with those kind of resources, you know. But Jesus's words stand. He told those people in his time he was coming back for them in their time. He kept his promise. And we need to, the sooner we accept that and get over it and move on, the sooner we can get back to understanding his kingdom and what it takes for us to get into the kingdom. Whether that be in death now, or if we make it to the final Gog Magog war, and that kind of, and we make it to the judgment, you know, alive, whatever it takes. We need to be covered in the blood of the Lamb when it comes to that final great white throne judgment. We want to be at the mercy seat. We want to be covered. And that involves just getting straight with Jesus, believing and being saved. And it's easy. The free gift of salvation is easy. We do not need to complicate it, overcomplicate it. And I know we've had a lot of time to fester and think and contemplate about how we should be a Christian in this little season, because we don't know where we are in time, and we think we're waiting for things to still happen. That has caused a lot of unnecessary arguments. If the little season eschatology is the truth of where we are, those arguments just suddenly fall away, and it's pretty clear what we need to do from then on, you know, and it's incredible. So I think a conference where we can have these kind of speeches, say these kind of things, and people can present their ideas in a calm, cool, collect way, as clear as day, it can be good for us. And another thing the survey kind of showed us, which I thought was really interesting, and is that because we are such a small fringe group right now, relatively speaking, growing rapidly, reaching bigger audiences by the day, don't get me wrong, but most people, and most of you listening who are perhaps got into the little season stuff, feel quite isolated and lonely, more so than just being a conspiracy theorist, which was already bad enough for that kind of stuff, you know, but this is even more of a bigger isolator, because if you were a conspiracy theorist in the past, well, at least you always had your church, at least your pastor was always there for you, and the congregation was always there to support you and there to agree with you about how terrible and evil the world is. But as soon as you come with this idea, you've just gone against the whole world when it comes to churchianity, and the isolation from then on is even greater, far greater than it was prior to just simply being a conspiracy theorist, you know. I mean, it's bad enough to try and explain to your pastors and other Christians about the Nephilim and convince them that was a thing. Now you're going to also convince them, oh, by the way, Christ has already returned. It's kind of, yeah, I can see how you'd have issues there with excommunication, or, you know, being accused of all sorts of things and being shunned and isolated. And it turns out, you know, we're a lonely bunch in the little season community. We're quite a lonely group of people, and that's not surprising, is it? But we can't just simply unsee what we've seen or unhear what we've heard or go back on any of this, because it's pretty self-evident once you realize it. So we kind of just have to embrace our loneliness in a way, and maybe a conference could help be a facilitator for networking for people to make friends in their local estates and areas. And maybe we can find ways of kind of advertising what state you're from or something, like a badge or something. I don't know. So you can meet up with like many people in your area through this as well. I think that could only be a good thing for people. True fellowship. But these, again, these are just ideas we're mulling around based on the survey results, you know. And, you know, there's a real call for networking and fellowship. And that's fine. That's perfect. That's something we could probably help with. And like I said, I'm trying to help you guys here with communities like my own on Telegram and these chats that you're all talking together in now. Remember, you're talking to real people here. It's a real people in the chat that you're communicating with. I'm a real person. I'm just a guy sat in my house with a laptop and a microphone. You know, it's not hard to do what I'm doing. You can talk to people and let yourself know and put yourself out there and, you know, the classic build and they will come Mandela effect, which never really existed. You know, whatever you want to say, you can network and make these things happen online, sure. But I think a face-to-face in-person thing can really be edifying for a lot of people. So we'll see how that all pans out. Again, this is all just very early stage stuff. It's exciting. I think we can make it happen. I think it's likely we can make this happen. But at the same time, you know, there's things you've got to be careful of. You've got to be wary about things. And there's technical things we've got to kind of focus on and safety concerns and all sorts of things we've got to really think about here, you know. And we are thinking about everything. The feasibility of all of this, we really are trying to get to the bottom of it. But it's exciting. So there's some demographic information for you guys. Mainly the women have filled out the survey. Men, get more involved. Let's balance this out more 50-50. Let's get some more input into this survey. The link's in the description to the survey of this video. You can go and fill it out right now. It's just like about 20 questions, basic demographic stuff. You can choose to answer or not answer, whatever you want, you know. Give it a go and it'll help us know what you guys want to talk about. You guys do not want to talk about flat earth or anything like that. There's things you've made it clear you are not interested in discussing, which is great. I think this is really going to be a hyper focused presentation style, speaker focused panel Q&A style conference, really getting into the nitty gritty details of the little season and the evidences we do have from voices you recognize and trust and who have been in the game for long enough, who, you know. And it's kind of to build that real sense of community. And because it is an open forum, live Q&A stuff going on as well, you'll have your chance to ask your questions and we can do our best as a group to try and figure out what we know and what we can give you and offer you as answers. But we're all working this out together. So I think it'll create that feeling as well that we really are doing this together. You know, we're figuring it out. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this possibility. I think I had my reservations in the past about whether or not we should do something like this. And it's kind of, would it cheapen the whole thing in a way? But I feel like with the way we're going, we're not going to make this like a circus show. You know, this is not going to be like wild or extravagant or anything. This is going to be like a business conference in a way. But a bit more slick, a bit more exciting than dry business, you know. But we're not making this like a Comic Con convention where there'll be stalls all over the place and it'll be like a flea market or something. We're not going for that vibe either. It really is more of a networking, discussion, philosophical meet and greet type situation, you know, where we're actually talking out and discussing ideas freely and openly. All centered around getting to the bottom of this situation with the little season. And I think that could be really exciting. And luckily, by chance, this is all lining up, it seems, that I am in the States during this time. So I may have to extend my stay just to get to this thing in Ohio. And I still have flights to figure out and timings of all that. But I think we'll probably know more in the coming month or two. I couldn't give you any dates set or anything right now. But things are happening behind the scenes. They really are. Big channels and little channels are all involved with this. We're all kind of working together. And we'll see how it goes, guys. So there's an update for people who wanted to know about this conference idea. It's again, when you're talking about ideas like this and projects like this, they require a lot. Like, they're not easy to do, and the organizer was explaining to me what it takes, you know. And this is a problem. She brought up a very obvious problem to me, which even I understand already, being in the conspiracy world, that conventions like this are usually funded through sponsorships. But nobody wants to sponsor a conspiracy theorist themed thing. Like, no one wants their product associated with conspiracies, which is why I don't get any like sponsors or anything like that. And I wouldn't even want to get sponsors on my channel, because then everyone would be accusing me of all sorts of things. And it's just not on brand, isn't it? Like, I'm not interested in like selling stuff on the channel. Unless it's my own book, The Nephilim Like Clowns, you'll get your own copy on Amazon today. But that's my artwork. That's my thing. I wouldn't feel comfortable selling somebody else's stuff on my channel, but I'm not even getting offers because I'm a conspiracy channel. And even when it comes to like ad revenue on YouTube, it's called RPM or CPM. It's like how much they pay you per 1,000 views. And your average YouTuber who's just making, I don't know, tech review videos or something, right? They're getting like $15 to $30 per 1,000 views. I'm getting like $3 to $5 maybe, if I'm lucky, if they haven't demonetized the thing, because no one wants to run ads on our stuff because we're a conspiracy channel, you know, and it's kind of that we don't want to be associated with that kind of stuff. You know, we could alienate our buyer base and things. So that's going to be an issue, the funding of this thing through sponsorships. From what I've heard, I'm not an events organizer, so I don't know. So I guess I would say, just as somebody who's involved loosely, because again, I'm not organizing the thing, I'd just be a guest, but it's kind of, if anyone's interested in actually sponsoring this event, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I'll connect you with the right people and see if that goes on. But again, I don't know how much would be, I don't know the details or money involved or anything, like, I don't know that kind of stuff, and I'm not good with money. Ask my wife, my accountant, okay? She deals with that kind of aspect. But from what I've heard and understand, this stuff usually always requires sponsorships to get it off the ground and get it rolling and to hire out venues, and we're talking tens of thousands of dollars, aren't we? Just to hire places out and get the catering and get the basics done. That money has to come from somewhere initially. So understanding the struggle as a conspiracy theorist for that kind of stuff, anyone interested in sponsorships and things like that, email me and I'll let the right people know who's interested. But don't, again, this is early days yet. This is so early days. Maybe they'll find sponsors. I don't know. So it's not like don't worry about it if you can't, I guess is what I'm saying here. But that is definitely something worth bringing up, you know. So yeah, there you go. That's kind of all the updates I can think of for you guys in terms of this conference thing. And again, just this idea that the Little Seasoned really is breaking down barriers for Christianity. And you know how you always look back after you've been saved at your past life and the choices you've made and how they all seem to... You look back and it all felt like that was supposed to be, you know, even the bad stuff, you know, but you look back at it all and it's kind of like you look to where you've got today and you just think to yourself, all that stuff that happened in the past, everything that led me to where I am today, felt like it was all supposed to happen to lead me to where I am today. And I'm sure you're all going through the same thing all the time, you know. And it's kind of like, especially when you become a Christian, you're born again, you start to see things that happened and choices you made that align quite well and ironically in some comedic way from God that is having a laugh. But in a way, is at the I've been here the whole time making waves in your life and directing you and you haven't realized it until now type of stuff. I think we all kind of feel that, you know, as Christians. And I was thinking about my opening, you know, the opening to my channel. And if for anyone who doesn't know what the opening to my channel is, let me just quickly play it for you, just to really get this clear. Where can I find it? I've got to have it somewhere. So a lot of people hear this.
I want you to get together.
You hear that? Should I play it again? It's a clip from an album by a French artist called Saint Germain. Okay. And I know there's a lot of stuff around Saint Germain being like a Gnostic saints of alchemy or something like that. I only learned that after the fact. I just like the album. It's called Tourist, okay? And he's like an acid jazz musician. And I don't think he's a Christian or anything. Like, it doesn't even matter. There's just this clip at the end of a song called Rose Rouge. He sampled from some soul song. I don't know what it is, where they say,
I want you to get together.
Okay, on repeat throughout this 10-minute drum, flute, jazz solo of some kind. And I just really like that song. I always have my entire life. And I like the message idea of bringing people together. I'm doing a conspiracy channel. We're going to understand the conspiracy. And we're going to break down the barriers in the conspiracy community. And we're going to bring everyone together. And we're all going to get to the bottom of the truth and figure it all out, you know. And it was very optimistic, very naive and young and fresh into the game. Optimism for what this channel is going to be, you know. We're going to bring the New Agers and the Christians together in some kind of consensus. And, you know, over a decade later, I am done trying to do that. There's no consensus between New Age and Christianity. Yeah, that was a fool's errand if it ever was one. I was so naive to think that would be possible. We are diametrically opposed to each other in worldview in ways that are just not bridgeable, you know, and that's a shame, you know. And I kind of been dealing with that idea for a while. Like, there's no reconciliation there. They want to believe they are God. We believe God is separate from us. That's a huge cavern to bridge, you know, and we can't both be right at the end of the day. On the fundamentals, never mind we all believe there's a conspiracy against us, but they don't even believe like the sources of the conspiracy are the same as us because we understand it from a biblical perspective. So it's a big issue. You know? And that, again, that I want you to get together was originally about that concept, but now I'm like, I don't think it was ever really about that. Maybe it was about this. Maybe overall the long-term game was that it's going to bring Christians together into one place where we can actually all agree on something for once. And I laugh at these statistics and seeing all these varied groups of denominations all coming together in agreement on something. And I couldn't help but think of the I want you to get together thing I used at the start of this channel a decade ago. And how, in a way, it is finally coming to fruition in some small, tangible way. The Christianity is getting together on this, finally, you know, and many people are turning away from the churchianity, institutional indoctrinations towards it sincerely, finally just seeking the truth in Christ based on taking his words at face value rather than adding man-made interpretation onto it. And that's incredible, you know, and again, it's one of those moments, it's like, maybe God was doing something. It was always supposed to lead to this ironic revelation today, 10 years later in some way. I don't know. Just some random speculations by me there on this concept. But yeah. Interesting, guys. So there you go. Thanks for listening to my little opening diatribe. I don't want to share too much more with you guys about the information from the survey because it is private information, kind of, you know. I mean, no one's giving me the names or anything, so it's not like that. But you know, it as far as demographics go, more females than males have filled the survey out so far. Men, get involved, give us more information. What you guys want from us from the surveys is heavily focused on facts and information surrounding the Little Season, and also fellowship and community focused moments and gatherings and advice, basically, on how we can help tell off loved ones and friends about this, and also cope with not having a church anymore and all that kind of thing. So it's interesting. It's personal and deep facts kind of together in one, and we know what topics you don't want us to discuss, and we also know what kind of guests you actually want. You don't want pastors or preachers or known like authors or anything like that. You quite simply just want us to come and talk, just YouTubers who you've listened to on a daily basis. That's all you want, which is interesting. Very interesting, you know. And it's kind of this general distrust of the seminary taught pastors and preachers has kind of seeped into the Little Season worldview as well, which is understandable, the community. And it's kind of also people just don't want to listen to like experts anymore. They're sick of it. Everyone just wants to listen to normal people to try to figure it out. And I think that's interesting information from the survey. So that's all I've kind of got so far for you guys. So yeah, I'll come to the chat now. We'll see what you guys are saying. I've been going for 43 minutes. So on the hour, we'll take a little 5-minute break. I'll play another song for you guys just to fill that time. But while I'm ending this diatribe, sorry I was late. I'll just throw that in there for the live viewers. I'm not sorry for why I was late. It's family stuff. I was dealing with family stuff behind the scenes, you know. And someone left a very rude comment saying something along the lines of being late is a sign of disrespect. I'm out. Bye bye. Or it's a sign of just basically just being really rude about me being late. So I'm like incapable because I'm late. And it's kind of like my priorities are with my family, not YouTube. Okay, get it right, get straight. Okay, relax, chill out, all right? It's YouTube. So that's all I have to say on that one. But yeah, that was a bit of a head scratcher when they did that. I have no idea what was going on there. And looking at the chat now, we've got Christopher from BioCharismas in the chat. Hi, Chris. I loved your talk that you did with JT recently. I listened to the whole thing. It was wonderful. You guys had such a great rapport going there. And I'll definitely have to get you back on the channel soon as well. Looking forward to talking with you again anytime in the future, man. But yeah, we always have a good conversation with you. And you're a wealth of knowledge. You just know so much about a lot of really technical things about building, which is just it keeps blowing my mind every time I hear you talk. So yeah, good to see you here, man. Thanks for being here. Who else have we got? We've got Flatbears in the chat. Flatbear, I hope you saw at the very start of this, I shared your video and we played it all the way through. Flatbear's here. Click on his name if you're in the chat. Go and subscribe to his channel. Go and follow him on Instagram under the same name. And he's always posting little shorts, which are just soundbite snippets from all sorts of creators with wonderful visuals over the top. The guy makes art. All right, go and check it out. It's really good. What have we got here? Everyone's arguing about something. I don't know what. I'm missing it here. Something about they want our money to subsidize for the parallel of welfare. I have no idea what that's about. People are getting really into stuff right now. BioCharismas saying, Flatbear, I need your skills. That's cool. So look, we've got collaborations going on right here, right now. This is what networking is all about. You talk to somebody in a group chat randomly and there you go. Before you know it, you're making a collaboration. And that's how the world tends to work when it comes to YouTube, which is cool, isn't it? That's how I've met most of the people I've talked to when it comes to YouTube. I know a guy who knows a guy. I talked to one guy who knew another guy and he suggested me to that guy, and then that guy reaches out, and then it's just one thing after another. Sadly, there are some people out there who like to think it's inorganic, it's evil, they're all in on it together in some hidden hood-wearing cabal trying to deceive the masses, because there's no way you get that big unless you're all in the club type of stuff. And it's kind of, you know, I know that probably does happen at really, really high levels to some extent, but from my experience, it literally is, you just talk to one person, they suggest you talk to somebody else, and then it just snowballs from there. That tends to be what's really going on. And looks like BioCharismas and Flatbear are getting in touch with each other right now, just in the same way most of this community does, which is I implore everybody to get involved. Come and make a channel, make some content, make a name for yourself, and you know, before you know it, you'll be talking to anybody and everybody about these things. Just like Cult of Con, Connor did the same thing. He had a channel. One day I randomly watched his Sunday service. I was like, I love the sound of this guy. I could listen to this guy for hours. So I literally just brought him on the channel. And next thing, now he's a beloved member of the community and he's a great contributor with fantastic style and information. Reaching more people in his own way. And that's just kind of how it works. It's random. It's just, you've just got to put yourself out there and who knows what's going to happen. And I think as a creator community, we're all kind of sharpening each other, you know, we're all kind of having these discussions, asking each other the questions, getting to the bottom of things. And the more voices we have in the game, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, for all the infiltrators out there who want to cause problems, you'll be exposed eventually for what you really are anyway. You're just going to slip up. And obviously, if no one wants to listen to you, they're not going to listen to you, because we're quite a discerning bunch in this group, I would say. Absolutely. Flatbear says Topher crushes. He does, absolutely. Alpha Talks, add him if you haven't already. Wonderful work he does, says Susie. I have mentioned Alpha Talks and I've sent the appropriate emails, and yes, I would love Vitaly to come on and talk about the floating city. He even published a book on it called something about paradise or something like that. And it's really good. It's really good. Gates to Paradise or something, I can't remember, but he wrote a book about how all these cultures all over the earth all discuss a paradise in the north in many various descriptions and ways, which is really interesting. What's going on here? understanding conspiracy, you gave your big speech about coming together and immediately Protestants started attacking Catholics. I refer them to Samson, says Rowley. All right, well, you know, Catholics aren't always innocent either with their own jabs and jibes and their haughtiness and their, well, we have the apostolic succession going back 2,000 years to the one true church. And it's kind of everyone believes they have the one true church. Every single denomination ever in existence. You know, I'm sure the Catholics are arguing with the Orthodox all the time since that schism in like the 10th, 11th century. It's kind of, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the infighting with us all. It's kind of, get over it. Move on. Just focus on Christ. All right? What are we doing? If this is the little season and the devil is out there deceiving us en masse, I think we need to start talking and getting along with our similarities and not arguing about our differences in opinion. At the end of the day, our opinions are moot. The truth is what stands, and the truth is Christ kept his word. And that's all we should be focusing on. And there you go. I've just solved it. I've solved Protestant and Catholicism's issues. All done now. Let's move on. No, I know it's tough, guys. I know it's tough. I know it's a sensitive issue. And I don't know how I'm supposed to. I can't solve such a problem. But personally, as an outsider kind of looking at these type of things, as a non-denominational, I'm like, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It needs to stop. It's a bad look. It's arguments and things like that which make people not want to get to know Christ at the end of the day. They look at us and go, well, they don't agree about anything. There's so many denominations. It's so divided and separated. Why would I get involved with something like that? They don't even know what they believe. That's what outsiders look at us like. Let's just start agreeing on some things. Let's come together and build each other up rather than breaking each other down. Love one another. Okay, wasn't that like the main plea of Paul? Just love one another. Isn't that like the main commandment of God? You know, just love your God with all your heart and love one another. Isn't that what he really cared about? And we just can't seem to do that, can we? Speaking of the schism, one church for 1,000 years, just say, see, you can't help yourselves. You guys cannot help yourselves, can you? And that is a source of pride for you people. Okay, it really is. The whole one true church for 1,000 years, apostolic succession, blah, 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 blah. Like, that is your source of pride. You have identified with an institution as though it's you in some way, and you have pride in something you had no part in building. And that's no better than the people of the world who do the same things in their own academic institutions. It's the same thing. We need to step above it all. We need to get over that. We need to move past that. Okay, that's it doesn't seem of God to me personally, and I could be wrong. You know, that's just me. That's just throwing my 2 cents out there on that situation. I probably haven't made many friends saying that today, but that's just the way I feel about the situation. And I've had thousands of emails from people trying to get me to convert to the way of doing things. So don't bother. Don't bother, okay? You can't all be right, can you, is what I'm trying to say here. There we go, right? So anyway, moving on, what's in the chat? What's going on? We've got Biblica Based here. Good to see you. We've got Ajax. We've got Susie. We've got Pearl. So regular faces. Great to see you all. Thanks for sharing the video, Paul, says Flatbird. Don't risk getting anyone's attention over the copyright. Keep up the good work. Well, like I said, if I get another strike or something, or whatever it is, or they do something, I'm just going to remove that clip from the stream. So it's not a big deal. Ireland could have used you. I don't think I'm ever going to. I'm not here to get between Catholics and Protestants, you know. I think this little season eschatology can be something we can agree on. Something that can bridge a gap for us, and that can only be a healthy thing for relations between denominations, can't it? And I'm excited to see if that could be going that way. Who knows what the future holds for Christendom and for the truth and for the little season theory? Who knows? Religious factions are always arguing. We just bring truth, precisely what Jesus did. Well, you know, all things with tempered reason, constantly praying, asking the Holy Spirit to guide me in everything I do. I'm hoping that's what we're doing, and I'm hoping I can bring you as much truth as I possibly can. But I am a man, and I am fallible, and I'm not saying I'm right about everything all the time. I'm just seeking things out and sharing what I find with you guys when I find them. I entertain an idea without wholeheartedly accepting things quite often on this channel. I think a lot of people get confused about that. That's what I'm doing. I implore you all to entertain ideas as though they're true, to figure them out and where they fit. But you don't have to incorporate them wholeheartedly into your worldview. You can entertain an idea. Okay, and that's how we, I think that's how we get to the bottom of things. I entertained the Little Caesar idea for a long time before I accepted it. And I went through it as though it was true. And I interpreted everything through its lens to see if it fits for a while. But I didn't believe it for a long time. You know, it took a couple of years for it to really sink in before I started going, I'm thinking this might actually be it, you know. But I've had ideas in the past that I've looked at the world through as a lens that I have dropped and left behind because they failed after a while. But I had to entertain them for a year or two or a month or two or a week or two for a certain amount of time and test them before as a lens to navigate through reality. And when they stop working, when they no longer fit with the reality of the truth of the situation in front of me, I have to leave it behind, you know. And I think that's a method or a technique you should all employ when being a conspiracy theorist and Christians alike, you know. And I used to call this in the early days, I mean, I think I made a video called like The Method, The Problem, and I think I said and chemtrails or something, because that was the hot topic at the time that I was talking about. But the method and the problem. The problem is that the conspiracy culture was a mess and there was no cohesiveness behind it, and everyone looked nuts and nobody wanted to take them seriously. The method to solve this problem is, first of all, present yourselves correctly in a way that makes people want to know the truth. You're an ambassador for the truth. Act like it. And the other method is entertain ideas, even if you don't know if they're true or not, and just see where they lead for a short while. Okay? That's how you intelligently navigate new information. And that's how you make sure if it stands or does not stand. Some people are not willing to even entertain this idea and roll with it for a little bit and just see if it does fit. They have immediately shut the barriers because they have become comfortable in their previous understood perceptions and lenses to perceive and walk through and navigate reality. And it's not easy to let go of something like that. But it comes with practice and time to entertain an idea without wholeheartedly accepting it as well, you know. So take that for what it is. It'll be a Tips for Truther in the future, I can guarantee you that, guys. I'll be talking about that one again. Hi, Paul. Cheers from Iowa. You are definitely on the correct path. It makes so much sense. Really clicks with my spirit, says Doug Kenny. Exactly. Clicking with the spirit is a good way to describe this topic, isn't it? Jason Jack says, I tried it on, then went back to futurism before coming back to it. Then the dots started connecting. I think God allowed me to wrestle with it for a reason. Yes, God will give you as much time as you need to wrestle with the idea, because he understands too just the type of delusion the majority of Christendom is under today. They don't call it the Little Season of Deception for nothing. You know, it's tough. You know, I think God empathizes with his children and sees the mess we're in. And it's kind of like, how am I supposed to get them to see this? And it's kind of, well, we're going to have to let them wrestle with it. They're going to have to fight. I have to get them to this point kicking and screaming, you know. And if you've ever been a father of a toddler, you understand that feeling very much. Okay, it happens. And I empathize in a big way with that concept. Fasting really helps when having issues connecting to scripture. It does. Yeah, fasting definitely helps clear your mind in many ways. I'd recommend it. Fasting, absolutely. Thank you, Brother Paul, says Joe Salvador. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Bravo. Christ is King. I'm all in, says Eddie Bravo. He did say that, yeah, which is amazing. Like I said, Flatberg got me in touch with him. We very quickly got together and I just shared what I knew about the Little Season with the guy. He had his questions, you know. We had a bit of a tussle over Trump in the middle, and I told him, bro, I'm just not buying it. I don't trust the guy. And he was like, yeah, but, you know, the plan and what he's doing and all these things, and I'm going to reap the benefits anyway. I said, yeah, you know, render unto Caesar what's his, you know. The earthly kings of God, you know, are all chosen by God in some way. So I'm not saying he can't, you know, have a role to play, certainly, in God can't use bad people for good things. And if things are good while they're good, enjoy them while they're good, but don't expect him to save you. Only Christ can save you, you know. The basics. Like I told him, the basics. You go listen to the Eddie Bravo interview if you haven't already. But, you know, four weeks pass after that. And the next thing I know, the guy's saying, I'm all in. Christ is king, you know, and I'm like, wow, that's incredible. I think it was some research on the Shroud of Turin that really got him. That really got him, like seeing the evidence of Jesus Christ burnt onto this cloth. It's kind of, and watching some experts break it down and talk about it and all the science behind it. I think Mel Gibson was on Joe Rogan talking about it. And you know, I know he's friends with Joe Rogan, so I think he saw that podcast. So I think a blend of a lot of things. God's clearly been working in Eddie's life over the past year or two. I think he's been taking a lot of time off podcasting before he got me on as well, I've only realized. And I think the Holy Spirit's moved the right people in the right place in his life at the right time. And now he's professing Christ as King on the world's biggest platforms, which is incredible. And all glory to God. And good for Eddie for getting his salvation straight. And that's a win. That's a good thing for him. And, you know, let's keep him in our prayers, eh? Because he's in the viper's pit, that's for sure. But he's definitely no stranger to fighting his corner and being disagreed with. So interesting, okay. Interesting. You see Eddie Bravo play your vid on Joe's Fight podcast at Skywalk. Yeah, I did. I saw that he played a clip of mine. Because he randomly messaged me and was like, I need a clip. I'm going to go see Joe tomorrow and I want to show him this stuff. And I was like, okay, well, why didn't you take one of Flat Bear's clips? Because he has made a great compilation. But he'd already decided before he responded, say, no, your little season theory number one's perfect. I'm going to use that one. And I was like, all right. Okay, fair enough. If you want me to make a video, I'll make a video, but he never responded. And the next thing I know, 3 days later, he's playing it to Joe Rogan live on air. And I'm like, okay, I didn't see that coming. I thought you were just going to talk with him or something. But yeah, he played the first, like, 3 minutes of the conversation I had with Bo Kennedy from the Bump podcast, where I was explaining the basic premise, you know. So there it is. It's reaching wider audiences, and that's, again, that's only a good thing, and all glory to God on that. That's fantastic. Let's build each other up continues to attack the true faith. Well, look, every denomination has a problem. You think I'm continuing to attack the true faith? I'm saying you're all a mess, all of you. I don't discriminate. Like, I'm not discriminating against any particular faith. I think you've all got some good things going and you've all got some issues. And what I'm saying, let's just work together on what we can agree on rather than fighting each other all the time. You know, it's simple. It's a relationship with Jesus shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't involve all the man-made pomp and circumstance. It shouldn't involve all the ritual and the necessities to be here and show up on time and do the right thing at the right time under arbitrary rules created by institutions. Okay? If you want to have a relationship with Christ, ask and you'll receive. If you want to talk to the Father, pray and talk to him. Simple. There's nothing else that required. Just believe and you'll be saved. There's nothing else really more to it, lest any man should boast. I mean, you can't get any more simple than that. And if you want to add extras on top of it, go ahead, be my guest. It's not going to compromise your salvation as far as I'm concerned. Because you're covered as long as you believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is the Son of God, and you're saved. You believe in his resurrection and his sacrifice for you, and that you're covered by his blood for your own sins in final judgment. You believe that and you are saved. You're covered. And God knows your heart and he knows if you believe that or not. But if you also then want to go on and do some rituals every so often on Sunday or Saturday or wherever it is, and you also do want to do certain feast days and other things like that, or use particular names or languages, it's all trivial nonsense you're just piling on top because of ritual and culture and other things. As long as you've got the core value settled and done, you're covered, right? So why should it matter? Do you want to feel like you're better than other people? I think that people's churches are a huge point of pride. And that's where it seeps into people's hearts. And Jesus Christ didn't need any of that. Not one stone would be left upon another. See this temple right here? There's a reason for that. Because you are the temple of God. It's simple. The gospel is simple. And I know there's plenty of denominational extremists, let's call them, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they are. People are just zealots for their denomination under many factions, not just Catholicism or Orthodox. You know, the The Judaizer types, the Hebrew Israelite types, all those types, they can just be as fervent and zealot for their own, full of zealotry for their own denominations on top of that. And all I find is bad fruit pushing people further away when they start presenting themselves in such a way. Okay. And it may get and capture some people, but they'll fall away eventually. It's not enough of a foundation. It's not. And I feel like the true foundation could be people coming to a realization that Christ was already here and he fulfilled his word. And that would make people listen and have real strong, edifying faith, knowing Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he was here on earth and we can see it clearly. And the next thing coming is final judgment, and I need to make sure I'm straight for that. The trivial nonsense of following your churchianity's rituals and paying the right tithes to your pastors falls away pretty damn quickly when you start really getting some perspective of where we are on the timeline. That's all I'm saying. And again, people are going to argue with me. People are going to get angry with me. People are going to accuse me of all sorts of things. They're going to say, you're an evil, satanic shill deceiving many and making people fall away from their faith. They're going to call me all sorts of nonsense. And what am I preaching? The basic gospel truth that Jesus Christ is King. What do you want to do with that? You want to, what? Is it, you going to have a problem with that now? I'm sure some of you do have a problem with that too. And you're going to argue with me and argue with me and accuse me and cast shade over me over anything. And I can't say anything right. I'm in a position where I'm talking about this eschatology. Okay. And I wanted to bring people together. I wanted to break boundaries and get through these denominations. But the problem is, every denomination wants to tell me, yeah, I agree with the eschatology thing, but you're not doing this. You're not doing it my way. You're not saying it how I would say it. You're not including this with your word when you talk about Christ. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. It's never good enough. Nothing I ever say is ever good enough for people when it comes to preaching the basic gospel, because they want more for some reason. As though it's just not enough. Like Christ's sacrifice was not enough. And why? And pride is the only thing I can think of that's making that happen to people. They want to believe they're a part of some special group. And my way is the true way, and everybody else got it wrong. That's basically it. And I'm saying, no, as long as you've got the Christ thing down, great. Then you all might have some interesting histories to go off where your faith comes from for certain regions, and have pride in some of that, maybe. You know, but don't bank on it as the most be-all and end-all important thing, your own cultural difference of how you worshipped Christ. I mean, I understand the idea of tradition, but don't let that lose sight of the basics. Don't let that make an enemy of others just because they did it differently. You know what I mean? And it's an issue. It's like the love one another problem. It seems like love in this world is few and far in between these days. People's hearts are waxing cold. And hopefully some perspective, such as realizing where we are in the timeline, can really drive home and shoo away those petty differences, those stupid differences that are dividing the kingdom. Hopefully. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'm being naive again, and I'm just hoping for the best. Who knows? I'm gonna be the eternal optimist. I'm going to hope for the best. I have faith that Christ and his truth will be known, and Christendom will become one again eventually, okay? And with I have faith that will happen. But then you're all going to come at me now, I can hear it. Yeah, but the only way to do that, Paul, is if everyone joins my church. That's what you're all going to say, isn't it? And just listen to that. Listen to the lunacy behind that statement. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. I've been going over an hour. I'm going to take a quick 5-minute break. I'm going to play in one of Judah Sargent's songs. I keep doing that. His name's Judah. Judah Sargent's songs for you guys. Again, it's one of my favorites by him, but I'm going to do the reggae version this time, just to mix things up a little bit. This one's called Endurance, and it's from his album My Own Misconceptions of God, Yahweh, and the Vagabond. So enjoy this while I play some pictures in the background.
On out my blood. 40 swore to an oath until his death come by the hands of men. We shall stop. The Lord of Heaven's army shall protect me. God, my scars are ready to bear. Flesh declines, guided by the renewal of mind. Something's brewing in the unseen sky. Rulers of this realm forfeit at the mention of the true Christ. Bound are my wrists behind bars to chains for you. Temptation's play its hand, but I cannot renounce what's true. As the earth shifts and the cracks expand, though we were already free, better by you glide on to get across the sea. Set sail to the land of calamity. So be it.
And I'm back. How are we all doing, guys? Sorry if I made you jump there and I randomly shouted, and I'm back, and I'm sure that probably has some consequences if you were wearing headphones. I get a bit excited. Yeah, I've calmed down a little bit now. I'm sorry I got a bit heated there. The energy got the better of me, shall we say? You know, let's call it the Holy Spirit. It got the better of me. I got a bit riled up, I'm a man like any other, and I get passionate about things as well. And maybe the real zealot was me all along. Maybe that's what's really going on here. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. I'm sorry if that was a bit too much for some people. But I say these things in love. You know, I say these things because I want you all to come together. I want a solid community here, and I want to build each other up rather than bringing each other down. It happens all the time, and I feel like the Little Season community is getting a little bit divided as well in some ways. And I think maybe there might be some newer or perhaps smaller creators in this community who may have been around longer than us who are getting a little bit jaded or annoyed that people like me are somehow just growing and they're not. And to them, I would say, I'm sorry. We're not unreachable monsters. You can send us emails and we can collaborate and do what we need to do. You don't have to lash out and make videos against us or anything because you assume we're malevolent. You can just literally send us a message on Instagram and we'll probably respond, or you can catch us on our own little personal areas. And again, whatever attacks come my way or the way of anybody, I try not to ever take any of them personally, because these people don't know me. They actually don't. All they see is a character, I guess, but on a screen from their perspective. They don't actually know me personally in my day-to-day life, like my wife knows me or my children know me. And often the caricatures they create of me in their videos are just that. They're like a cartoon character, like a two-dimensional cartoon character, or an evil villain or something, or just not the reality of the situation. And people call them straw men, don't they? And scarecrows all over the place are created about me. And I'll say to anybody who has done that or is doing that, it's kind of, look, I forgive you. I get it. This stuff is weird, you know, and this is a weird community, and we're a paranoid bunch, conspiracy theories, and I understand it might not be easy to trust people. But also, I think at the same time, some people are just in a serious problem of pride and contention, and they don't really understand that it's about the information, not about who gets to say it necessarily. Okay. I didn't ask for this in a way. Well, I guess I asked God to show me the truth, and I offered my service and said, use me, God, for whatever you need me to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I want to know the truth, and I want to help your kingdom. So use me. And here I am now. Somehow I'm here, and clearly this is probably what he wanted me to do inadvertently. And I didn't know this would how it would all pan out, but it did. And like I said, anyone's got issues, just comment, send me a message, send anybody a message. We're people. We can talk. You know, and it's happening a lot. There's a lot of backbiting and fighting and nibbling and jabs here and there, and accusations being thrown around all over the place for no valid reason whatsoever, other than maybe they're clout chasing or something, or they want the clicks or the views, or they want to stir up controversy so people think they're interesting or something like that. I don't know. All I can think is it's kind of sad in a way. I've had it where I've shared people's videos with other people, saying, this is a great video, this is such a great job breaking this down, check this out. And then a week later, they're creating a video against me. And I'm like, why? What did I do? What did I do? I've had people I've brought into my channel to talk with and have a full breakdown conversation with, saying, promoting them, saying, I like what you do, I love what you do, and it's great, keep doing it. And then they make a video about me saying I'm an evil satanic shill, and they just go completely against. And it's kind of like, I literally just helped you and promoted you on my channel and said you were doing a great job, and I was really nice to you and accommodating. And then you go ahead and do that. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm closing my doors a little bit on this channel and becoming a little bit more guarded, because it's getting ridiculous. You know, it's hard to know who isn't going to stab you in the back at some point further down the line anymore. And maybe that's just a by-the-by consequence of becoming a slightly bigger YouTube channel. It comes with the territory. I'm learning. By the way, this is the Truth of Therapy session. This is my therapy now. I need some therapy. So this is me just venting to you guys about my own issues and problems. And I also want to make very clear, as I did on the live show, which was a couple of weeks ago, repeatedly making clear, even in the live show after the main one, where I went through it again and explained what happened and where my views are on it, even I don't fully buy hagiography or that document that I shared. As I repeatedly said on the show, this is clearly made by AI and it could be lying to us and likely is, because it sounds too good to be true. But there are some people out there who want to say I'm trying to purposefully deceive people with false evidence. And if I wasn't going to talk about it, somebody else was going to talk about it. And I talked about it with as much tempered, calm, cool, collect, reasoned understanding as I possibly could. Like, this is likely too good to be true. These stories sound like copy and paste. AI is clearly messing with us here. There might be a root source where these things have come from. Maybe we can go and investigate afterwards. But I wouldn't hinge our entire research on this at all in any way, shape or form. I could not have made any more caveats about that. Yet still people want to go ahead and say, he's trying to mislead people with false information. Okay, I cannot win. Entertain an idea without fully believing it, people. Okay, that's all I can say. And what I mean, the other thing... from that issue, you know, we went through that document, which was clearly AI nonsense, most of it. But from that, it inspired a line of research, which I prior wasn't privy to, which is hagiography. And since then, we've created a group called Hagiography on the Telegram. And we have actually then been going to sources like through Oxford archives and libraries and books and reading real hagiography accounts of the saints and their deeds throughout Orthodoxy and Catholicism and everywhere. And we have uncovered lots of real fascinating stories that have been documented from official sources, which are easy to find. And so that may have been fiction, that document, but what's come out of that is some real valuable research into the lives of the saints as they were canonized, you know, through the hagiographies, which are like glorified stories to talk about a glorified individual. But it's an interesting line of research has sprouted from it. But as I said in the beginning, don't hinge this entire theory on it. And if anyone is doing that, stop it. It's not enough. We need to work it out more. Is that good enough for people? Does that help in any way? I don't know. Probably not. I'm probably still going to get accused of being purely evil and out to deceive the nations in some way. And you know, I just can't do anything right, apparently. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because, you know, I can't do anything else. I don't know when to stop talking. It seems to just be the way I roll. And for some reason, my chat has just vanished here on OBS. You don't see any of this, but I've got a bit of a stats and information stuff. And for some reason, my chat has just vanished. I got nothing. So let me see if I can revitalize this through the doc sections. Probably not. Probably lost forever. No, it's lost forever. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to get the chat up on my phone instead so I can actually see what people are saying. So bear with me. Just bear with me, guys. Maybe if I... minimize this and perhaps check on here instead. There's always some technical difficulties with every live show. You probably learned this by now listening to me over the years, or anyone who does live shows is their own content creator. There's always something every single time, and I feel like it popped off then when I was getting really passionate about my detractors. That's when they took away my thing. But let me just see what's going on here. Let me have a look. Live show. It says my connection is poor for some reason. Sorry if it's lagging for you guys. I'm sorry if there's a problem. I'm doing the best I can here. My internet should be full, whack, powerful, perfect. Let me have a look here quickly. Let me check the chat while I'm at it. Let me take a break and go back to the chat. It's always interesting when I let people talk. Paul is an evil villain. And Paul as an evil villain is hilarious, says my wife. Yeah, as she'll tell you, I can't lie. I'm not a good liar. I'm too nice. I'm like a really bad liar. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I am, as we were joking about at the start of the stream, I'm a typical Cancer. Yeah, I was born on the 4th of July. I am just emotional, humble type, go along to get along, easygoing, can't really lie. I'm just... always nice at my own detriment type of person, you know? So to imagine me as like an evil villain behind the scenes grabbling away like, ha ha ha, I've got them now and they're believing all the lies, you know? It's kind of got, it's just I'm not That's not me. You know, I can't do it. I'm not a good liar. And, you know, there's that classic phrase. You know, when Benjamin grew up with this, I might be wrong, but I'm not lying. Like, I think I can live by that a little bit, you know. I might be wrong about a lot of stuff, and I'm not lying to you. I'm just telling you what I think and feel at the time based on the evidence I've got at the moment, you know, and based on where my thoughts are at currently. But, yeah, some people really do think I'm lying. Well, let's see what else is going on here. Joshua, aloha. Gillian was on with Paul just last year, but recently she said this theory was dangerous. Gillian? Who's Gillian? Who's Gillian? I don't know who she is. I have no idea. Is that the Eyes on the Right lady? Yeah, that's a shame. I really like her posts on Instagram. I think they're really well thought out and great. But yeah, she definitely went down the, ooh, this is a scary sounding idea. I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah, I think that's the one you're talking about. Yeah, I think I remember. I've talked to a lot of people over the last year doing the Nephilim clown stuff, and I've kind of been denounced by them since. I think a lot of them have kind of pushed me away since then and don't want anything to do with me anymore. I'm like anathema to a lot of them. It's kind of like, oh, better not talk to him ever again. There's no way I'm letting that guy on my podcast anymore. Yeah, he might start talking about some weird stuff, you know. I'm a bit too risky for some places now. And I've even had some of those podcasters reach out to me after the fact when I first started talking about these things, saying things like, oh, Paul, you better be careful with what you're saying here. You know, you sound the way you say it is really convincing, and that could be leading people astray. So what do you mean the way I say it is really convincing? You mean it sounds true? Because it is. That's the problem. It sounds too true. It's like, what do you mean? You have to give an account for every word, Paul. I'm banking on it. I'm banking that God will tell me what I got right and what I got wrong. Like, what do I know? Like, but I'm pretty certain about this. Like, I wouldn't be talking about it if I hadn't thought about it first, to some extent. You know, and I've always given the appropriate caveats whenever I can, and I've always made it clear, this is So Thinketh Paul, with no degree of certainty, not so saith the Lord as gospel, you know. I've made it clear when that's the situation. So what's the problem? And the problem is, these ideas just dismantle what we've built. I've built my entire empire that the tribulation's about to come around the corner. People have been trusting my word and my ministry for years, and you're coming along saying it's all false and making people leave and stop paying their tithes and the rest of it. You know, it's kind of, you're affecting my bottom line, Paul. I'm sure God wouldn't be happy with that. It's kind of, well, you know, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Anyway, what else is going on here? Keep going, Paul. We need to have these discussions. Don't worry or even acknowledge those who hate for the sake of it. You're kind of the only one who can have these discussions, says Paul. Well, I'm not the only one. No, I'm not. There's plenty of better content creators than me in this community, I believe. Like, what do I do realistically? I talk a lot. You know, I'm a talker. The presenters out there, like people like Madeline, for example, I was watching, you know, some of her presentations here about Gog and Magog, and the information she's bringing to the table is fantastic. It's so eye-opening. There's so much there to just sink your teeth into. It would take me a week just to get through the stuff she brought in that, like, two-hour presentation. And I'm thankful for people like her doing the legwork. I just talk. I just say stuff. You know what I mean? I watch these videos and go, whoa, have you seen this stuff? That's all I am. I'm just a hype guy, I guess. I'm a glorified hype man. Like, I do my own research. I do what I can. You know, I offer what... But I'm not... the smartest or the most educated or anything like that when it comes to some of these very complex eschatological concepts and ideas. But I see what I see, and I say what I say about what I see, and if it resonates with you, it resonates with you. But there are far better people than me at this. It's just I for some reason have a very punchable face, and I'm the one that always gets attacked first because I am Marmite. You either love me and you think I'm a real swell guy, or you absolutely hate me and I deserve to be killed or hurt in some way. Like, that's the only... The two diametrically... The two poles that exist in the world, in people's minds. Great guy, the devil incarnate. There's no in-between, apparently. And I'm not that much of a cartoon character. I'm not that good, and I'm not that bad either. I'm a man. I'm a sinner. I am prostrated on my knees before God, asking for help to understand what's going on. And I don't know when to shut up. That's it. And people are either love it or are wildly offended. Is that just an internet thing? I don't know what it is. I don't get it. You said it so many times, Paul. It's very sad people don't listen to everything and just leave with what they want to hear instead, says Wendy. I know, right? I can't make anything more clearly. I can't say anything more clearly than I already do about what I think and think is and isn't bollocks, you know, but people just don't want to listen. They'll write books about you, Paul. Paul the deceiver. I hope they don't write books about me, Truth Unfiltered. I really don't. I'm going to hate the comments on this video now, says my wife. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Keely. I'm sorry. I've gone off on one, haven't I? I'm passionate about these things. What can I say? But yeah, you know, I'm going to get it in the comments for this one. I can tell already. Marmite of the conspiracy world. I'll keep saying it, says my wife. Exactly. That's me. Insanity abounds, says Wendy. That's right. The Chosen One. I'm tired of elitists referring to children as chicken. That's weird. I've never heard that one before, but I don't like it either. That sounds horrible. I agree with you. I don't think Wes Huff will be open-minded enough for this. I don't know the guy. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I'm thankful for what Wes Huff did with Billy Carson. I really am, because Billy Carson needed to bring him down a peg. I was literally saying a year before Wes Huff did his thing on my Telegram, like, I'm getting recommended Billy Carson videos on my feed all the time, and the guy is literally making stuff up. He's just making things up that don't exist in the text he's talking about, and just talking as though they're facts. And leading thousands of people astray and away from God. It's pissing me off, you know. And I'm making it clear, like, do not recommend Billy Carson to me here. He's a fraud of the highest order. Okay, he's a charlatan, a true snake oil salesman. And next thing you know, a year later, Wes Huff is there and just slaps him down, you know, with a Codex the Codex Sinaiticus stuff. He's just got a book behind him, you know. And I was happy to see it. I was happy to see it. Maybe I shouldn't be so, you know, worldly and rooting for the downfall of another human. But Billy Carson needed taking down a peg. I couldn't, you know, he had gone too far. God will not be mocked, is all I can say. And it was about time, you know. But would Wes Huff be open to this? I really doubt it. He's an academic. He is heavily, heavily invested in the official narrative and the official timeline. It would throw into question all of his credentials if he was to humor this in any way, shape, or form, or to be seen humoring this in any way, shape, or form to the wider community that he's in. He would stand to lose a lot in the world for going along with this. No chance. Absolutely no chance. Do not see it happening. If it weren't for you, I'd still be a dull piece of iron, says Truth Unfiltered. Well, that's kind. You're pretty. I won't call you a dull piece of iron. You're a pretty sharp guy with a wealth of knowledge. So you know. Don't put yourself down so much. I think without me, you would have been doing just fine and got these conclusions on your own. Absolutely. Yeah, Rev, you're a good guy and you're a solid dude and you know your stuff. People are going to get at you for saying slightly bigger YouTube channel. All right. Oh, Paul's just full of pride. All he does is talk about his YouTube channel. It's like, well, yeah, this is my YouTube channel. It's what I do here. Like, sorry, should I just not talk about the thing I'm on, the platform I'm on? Okay, never mind. Maybe I should just double down on it and say, you know what, guys? I'm on 86, almost 87,000 subscribers. Maybe I've crossed that threshold now. I'm not sure. Which means I'm only 13,000 subscribers away from 100,000. it's possible. Let's see how we get there. Like I said, I got some great big channels lined up who I'm going to be on. I'm going to be on with Sam Tripoli later in April. I'm going to be on with David Nino Rodriguez tomorrow. It's on the books. Let's see if it actually happens this time. Third time's a charm, as they say. I've been rescheduled twice now, but he's got a big audience too, and they're going to hear about the little season stuff from me. I was just on Liberty Lockdown podcast with Clint, and that was a fantastic conversation. It's available on Rumble and on his podcast now, Liberty Lockdown podcast, but I will be releasing that to the public myself, maybe on Tuesday for you guys. But that was cool, and he's a political, not really conspiracy theorist guy, and even he was open to the idea, and he said I blew his mind. So big things are coming. We're reaching wider audiences. The channel's growing, which is very exciting, and I'm very happy about that. And I'm not going to be sorry for being happy about that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel bad about it, for those who do. But I'm not sorry for working hard and being happy that I'm seeing an upward trajectory. Why should I? All glory to God. Without him, I wouldn't be doing any of this whatsoever. And I'm thankful that I'm in this position. I truly am. And I pray every day for discernment and to keep on the track and say the right things when they need to be said. If it helps me spread the gospel to more people, I'm going to do it. And that's it, you know. What else is going on in the chat here? Let me scroll down. I'm way behind on the chat. way behind. Wendy shared Madeline's link in the chat. That's great. Go and check that out, guys. If you haven't already, by the way, I do. Everything is in podcast format now. Even this show is going to go straight to audio after this. On Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from, you will find me on there now. Go over there, give it a like, give it a 5-star review. That really helps bump up the whole thing and get the views over there. Let's get people knowing that's happening. So if the rug ever does just get yanked out from under me here on YouTube, which could happen, you know, the flood can happen at any time, we should always be prepared, you can still listen to me in podcast format instead. So I am in other places. I am putting my eggs in other baskets, shall we say. Go over there and support me on podcast format as well, audio only. Spotify has video too, so this video will also be on there. So there you go. There are alternatives now. Paul, you need to eat fresh fruit and veggies to recovery from your cold. I recovered from my cold. I got over it really fast. My wife is still ill. My sons were ill for a bit longer than me. But I was ill for about 4 days and then it disappeared. So I'm okay. I got lucky there. What's going on? Suffer the charlatan, so when the truth enters, you recognize, says Joseph. Yeah, something like that. Eliza John, how can people with evidence of millennial reign send it to you? Email? Yes, Eliza. UnderstandingConspiracy@gmail.com. UnderstandingConspiracy@gmail.com, and that's how you send me anything you want at all. And look, I won't always respond because I get about up to 30 emails a day. I cannot respond to everybody. I'm sorry. I just don't. I'm stretched pretty thin as it is, writing a book, recording an audiobook, raising 2 kids, you know, having a marriage and a family and basic day-to-day life stuff, as well as running the channel, making videos, editing things and organizing networking, talking with podcasters and replying, you know, all the kind of things. I'm pretty thin, so responding to emails is difficult, okay? I'll try my best. I do try my best. I do respond to some, but a lot get past me. And for that, I do apologize. I'm sorry I'm not 2 people. I wish I could just split myself in half and have 2 versions of me working simultaneously, you know, and split the load like that. But I unfortunately, we haven't mastered the technology yet, and it's just not feasible. So while I am one man, I'm going to fail to answer all of your emails, but I try my best and I do at least read them. Okay. But after I've read an email, I'm in the middle of cooking dinner, so I've usually put my phone down and deal with the toddler screaming at my leg and asking for something. So I forget then, and I've moved on, you know. But I do tend to read emails. So you've got that, okay? Send me an email, and I'll do what I can. Also, someone did send me an email about wanting a hard copy of the Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I have sold out. I don't have any physical books here in this office right now. I am going to make another bulk order at the start of the month, and I'll have another maybe 10 to 20 books coming in around the first week of April, and then I will have signed copies will be available again, so I can sign them, package them, send them off to you, okay? So the person who did email me, if you're listening, I got your email, I'll respond to you in a minute. Like I said, it happened, it went to the wayside, and I'll inform you of what I've just said there. I will have copies very soon to send off to you. It's just because it costs money to get the copies in, I need to wait till they get paid so I can order more copies in for the month, and then I'll sell them to make the money back to pay for more copies. It's a cycle, you know. You know how it goes. But if you want to buy a copy of The Deaf and Look Like Clowns with a signature by yours truly and a little message, I can send that to anywhere in the world. It's a flat rate of £60 for hard copy, £50 for paperback. And again, because international shipping is quite expensive, that's why the price is higher. In terms of money I make on it all when done and dusted after postage and printing and packaging, I'm making about the same as I would on Amazon normally, but I'm sorry for that. That's just the way it goes, okay? But there we go. Send me an email, understandingconspiracy@gmail.com, and I can get a signed copy to you. Or you can just send me some information about whatever you've been researching, and I'll try my best to read it too, guys. I do try my best, I do. But again, I'm spread really thin, really, really thin lately. The secret name thing is pretty divisive, but Jesus' own mother, when he was human, gave him the name Joshua in Hebrew. Okay, thanks for letting me know. What's this? Virtual reality witness. Everyone buy a signed copy of Paul's book. Well, there you go. I got someone shilling for me in the chat. Yeah, that would be great if everyone bought a signed copy. That would be wonderful. Like I said, if people want to pre-order one of those bulk copies that are coming in, you can do that too. And when they come in, I'll send them straight out. But just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com first, and then we can get it all sorted, okay? That's the best way we're going to do this. Was a good book. The signed copy makes it all that much more special, says Starman. Well, there you go. A satisfied customer. I've sold quite a lot of the signed ones now. People are really into it and really enjoy it. So that's good to know. My wife, I'm convinced I'll never be well again. I know it's rough. It's a proper sinus problem. That's what I had. And I feel bad that my wife hasn't recovered, because I know how horrible it is. But it's just one of those, isn't it? What can we do? What can we honestly do? Having a marriage loss. Yeah. But you know what I mean. It's when you've got kids and like I said, a full-time career that you're constantly focusing on, you have to make time for one another as well, you know. And that's what we do, you know. I'm not saying that's a burden, I'm not, but what I'm saying is emails are not even secondary, they're like 10th to that kind of stuff. My family comes first, you know. That's what I'm trying to say. I pulled that one back, didn't I? It can be very hard to avoid strikes on YouTube. They can bring your channel down in an instant. Yeah, I know. You've got to be careful. There's a game you've got to play. There's a tightrope you've got to balance on. There's you got to have some tact, is what I'll say. Let me just make sure this is still working. You guys are still looking at the webcam. I don't know why my chat just disappeared in OBS. It's really annoying because now I've got to keep skimming back and forth on things. I just want to quickly check something else. I'm sorry if this affects the internet in any way or the signal goes. I just want to check some more things, because whenever I do live shows, YouTube has a habit of instantly demonetizing the video before it's even finished. If I put an appeal in very quickly, they say, actually, no, it's fine. We made a mistake. And they always say they made a mistake the next day when all the views have come in and it doesn't matter anymore and I'm not going to make any money. But that's how they get me. They're very sneaky. But luckily, this one's still in the clear from the looks of it. So we've got no problems there. So let me quickly just go back here. Check the chat, guys. Right, this one's going to wind down. You've listened to me rant on for almost 2 hours. I have gone on a bit, I know, and I've maybe, like I said, maybe I've offended about at least one quarter of my viewership. They're definitely not going to be happy with me for some of the things I've said. Shout out Deb. Was Deb? Do people know Deb? What's going on? Let me just quickly check down here. Paul, what Bible do you recommend? I use the King James Bible with the Apocrypha, personally. said to shout out Deb. I don't know who you mean. Who's Deb? I'm missing this here. Is it who I think it is? I love Conman's channel. Yeah, well, you know, shout out to Connor as well. If it's anyone going to elaborate on who Deb is at any moment to help me out here, why I should shout them out? Quit clowning around. Oh, Pepe, what are we going to do with you? Paul is a natural speaker, says Dan North. Sure, we'll call it that. Yeah, a natural speaker. Hi, Deb. Who's Deb? Yeah. I need to know which Deb you mean, because I know a few, and I'm confused who you're talking about there, specifically MK Ryan. Just got off the phone with Deb about the conference. Okay, so we mean the woman who's organising the conference is called Deb. Lovely lady. And yeah, she's on it. She knows what she's doing, you know. She's done this before. This isn't her first rodeo. This isn't her first conference. So it's like Connor's just been talking to her, which is great. Connor, you can come talk with me about it if you want now, because I'm about to do a members-only live stream after this, as I always do after the Truth Therapy Sessions on a Sunday. Come and join me at the members-only live. Everyone come over, listen to them, and we'll just talk about some stuff, which, you know, is just for members only. It'll just be a bit more of the same as what you've got currently. I did start a bit late, so I might have to finish this a bit early just so I can shoot over there and do an hour private with you guys. But if you want to join me, Connor, come and tell me what you and Deb were talking about and what she's got in store for you for the conference and what her plans and ideas are, because I'm always interested to hear these things behind the scenes. The obvious answer, Paul. Okay, fair enough. Deb is a person planning the little season conference. I was on the phone with her a bit ago. Okay. So that's the one we're talking about. All right. I've made it clear. That's fine. Okay. Paul, you must be on top chat. Maybe. I made a rookie mistake. I had to switch to a different chat screen, so maybe I've made a mistake there. Right, guys. Yeah. So, well, at the risk of repeating myself and going on now, I think I've said everything I need to say for this particular therapy session. For me personally, take it easy, guys. Let's just cool it a little bit in the community. Let's just enjoy the ride while we have it going on, and let's look forward to the positives. Let's all come together under the knowing that Jesus Christ did keep his word, and we are, after the millennial reign, looking forward to the new heaven and earth. Okay, let's just look forward to what's to come next. The heavenly kingdom manifest, the no more tears, everything perfect forever, our glorified light bodies, all the good stuff, all the stuff we should be looking forward to. Let's just be happy knowing that is right around the corner to some capacity. We may have trials, we may have tribulations along the way, but we can hold steadfast in our faith, knowing wholeheartedly the truth that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I'll leave you there with that, guys. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.